Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to fellowship together. As it is written, they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in prayers from house to house they did. You have given us this platform to make that happen. And we thankful for it, Lord. Glory to God. Now, as we are gathered here today, Lord, we present our hearts and minds unto you to hear from you. Praise the Lord. We pray that it will be an encouragement room even on today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that it be so even here today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today I want to do some, we've been talking on the subject of true worship, you know, and I want to do a session today on prophetic prayers, breaking the fury of the oppressor. Be more than just a lesson. It'll be actually, you know, doing it, getting into it. I've seen in the spirit, people are going through a lot of things. You know, so once in a while, it is necessary for us to come here and do this, take a stand against the enemy. Praise the Lord. So, as we get into this, I will be explaining what we are doing. Bringing a short word, probably, hopefully not too long, but I want to pray over the room today. Praise the Lord. So, prophetic prayers. What does that even mean? Well, we've been talking about prayer, so I think we all know what prayer means. Talking with God. We talk to Him. He talks back to us. Or first He talked to us, and then we responded back to Him. A two-way dialogue with the Lord. And that's prayer. It can be petitioning things. It can be we're making supplications for ourselves. It could be interceding for others. Prayers of all kinds. And it could be short, long. We covered all that yesterday. Sometimes traveling prayer. You know, sometimes we just want to whisper to the Lord our love. Prayer can be just a moment that we take to just love on the Lord. You know, it's not always about asking anything. It could be just we want to just praise Him. Even as the psalmist said, I praise the Lord 7 times a day. You know, maybe we just, the Holy Spirit move upon our heart to praise the Lord. That's a good thing. And today I want to look at another aspect of prayer, which I call prophetic prayers. We kind of went into it a little bit yesterday and the other day when we saw how Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel 37, was instructed to declare some things over some situation. And we'll be doing some of that today. But first, I want to read to us a few things that the Lord says to us in the scriptures to give us a background that we can come in confidence against what I call the fury of the oppressor. That's what the Lord calls it too. So let's read it together and talk about it. Isaiah chapter 51, we're going to read something that the Lord said. He said, I am he that comforted you. That's verse 12. Isaiah 51 verse 12. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And of the son of man that shall be made as grass and forgettest the Lord thy maker? That hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor, saith the Lord? You know, so this is the text. The fury of the oppressor is taken from. Captive exile, his net that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I put my words in thy mouth. Cover thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens. I'm going to speak about that. And lay the foundation of the earth and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Hallelujah. Now, let's notice the conversation that the Lord is having here. A background to this, if you go back and read it from verse 9, you will see, you know, the prayer that Isaiah was praying on behalf of himself and God's people. Awake! Awake! Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, as in the generations of old. Art thou not he that hath caught Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not he that dried the sea? That's the Red Sea. Even the waters of the great deep, and have made the depths of the sea as a way for the ransom to pass over, challenging the arm of the Lord. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Well, the Lord responded with what we read earlier. So let's consider what the Lord is saying here. And all these things that the Lord will do for us to bring us assurances and deliverance from the fury of the oppressor. Here's how he puts it. I have put my words in your mouth. That's what I call prophetic prayers. I put my words in your mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hands. He does all of that in order that I may plant the heavens. You can see how important you are in the grand scheme of things. God said, well, I've done this. I've positioned you in a place. You know, you have a role. We're partnering with God. Even in establishing things, plant the heavens, he said. I'm doing all of these things. I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and then say to you that thou art my people. See the relationship of all that God is doing. See how they all fit together. Planting of heavens because of you. Laying the foundation of the earth because of you. And then also calling you his beloved. Isn't that beautiful? But listen to what he says. You know, as we read it even more. I am he that comforteth you, he said. Who art thou that I should be afraid of a man when I am with you? Why are you afraid of a man or even a situation? Why are you afraid of any situation that is confronting you at the moment as though, you know, it will overwhelm you? The proud waves that have risen up against you, you know, you are afraid. Bible says here, the Lord said to his people, why are you afraid even of any situation, any man? And you forget I, the Lord, thy maker. But you're afraid of something else. You're afraid of someone else or some other situation. What is the situation that we're confronted with for which we are afraid? And the Lord said, look, I am the one, your maker. I'm right here. Why are you constantly afraid? Because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he's going to devour you. You know, the situation that you're in, call it anything. It might be a direct oppression from people. It might be sickness. It might be circumstances that we're facing, you know, that has pummeled us for months, maybe even years. And the Lord says, why is it that you are afraid of that? And forget I, the Lord, that dried the sea. Hallelujah. Well, let's talk about the drying of the sea, seeing that it is one of the things that the Lord talked about here. It was an incredible thing, as you know, for the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And what is your Red Sea moment that you are facing today? In the case of the children of Israel, there was no place to go. Pharaoh charging down behind them, and their, you know, path ahead of them is blocked by the Red Sea. How can they cross that Red Sea? In their minds, they're thinking, this is the end right here. And even Pharaoh, in his own mind too, is thinking, well, I got them right where I want them. Thinking in his head, Moses, your God is a poor general. See where he led you. I'm finishing you off today. And he's moving in for the kill. Well, the Lord had other plans. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the, perhaps the, in my opinion, the greatest, you know, singular miracle in that Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea, how that God heaped the waters up on either side for the ransom to pass through on dry ground. Some critics and snuffers have said, well, you know, it wasn't really very deep anyway. They just passed through, you know, on shallow ground and so forth. Well, somebody actually said that one time. To which I said, well, if that was the case, well, it's an even greater miracle that the shallow ground drowned all when the waters came back to that shallow ground. He drowned all those chariots. If you thought, oh, well, there really wasn't anything to it. It was just a couple of feet anyway. Well, and that couple of feet of water drowned all of Pharaoh's chariots and all his horsemen. We know it wasn't a couple of feet. It was several feet high, piled the waters up on either side. And the dry land was right there. And the people could go through. That was their Red Sea moment, where it seemed as if there was no way to go. You couldn't turn back and you could not go forward. Trapped in the middle, they thought. And they even grumbled against Moses. Should have left us in Egypt to die. But the Lord pulled out. As always, as I've said before, God always has one more move. You can never checkmate the Lord. Can't do it. He always has one more move. And the enemy's got you cornered. God will always pull out one more move to save the day. That's why we call him Savior. Your Red Sea moment may be different. What is the Pharaoh that you are afraid of that is about to swoop in for the kill? Just like in this case. But see how the Lord defended his people. And the Lord is telling us here that I am the Lord that divided that sea. And those waves roared up against the people of God, and the enemy was behind them. I made a way for them to pass through while he blocked the chariots of Pharaoh because of the pillar of fire. The horses wouldn't move forward. They couldn't do it. And when the Lord had seen that all the children of Israel were clean passed over, and had taken them several hours long, all night long, an east wind came, divided, blew that sea, and they passed over. When they were clean gone, the Lord removed the barricade that was holding back Pharaoh's army, Pharaoh and his army. And they charged forward. So we'll get them still. And the Lord waited until they were right in the middle, too far away from the other end, too far away from the previous end, caught right in the middle. And the Lord instructed Moses, stretch forth your hand again. The waters came crashing down and destroyed all their enemies. Because the Lord has said, these Egyptians that you see today, this is the last day that you will see them. Not see them anymore after this. Praise the Lord. So part of my prophetic prayers today will be declaring the same thing that Moses declared. You know, for you in this moment at your Red Sea. Glory to God. Those Red Sea moments, sometimes, you know, sometimes they are few and far apart, but sometimes, you know, just one after the other, whatever it is, the Lord is there for you. And the fury of the oppressor, you know, I mean, the fury of which, by which Pharaoh was charging down. Remember, there was no oppressor like Pharaoh. He oppressed the children of Israel in Egypt. He oppressed them even more when when Moses came to him and said, let my people go. Are they going to go serve the Lord? He said, who is the Lord that I should let his people go? And why should I let you even go? And he made their oppression even worse. Told the taskmasters, their oppressors, to make their situation worse. So if you talk about an oppressor, Pharaoh was number one. In the way that God depicted all the things that they laden upon the people, let there be more burdens laden upon them so that they will not have time to say, I want to serve the Lord. He did that too. But Pharaoh is no match for the Lord. The Lord was just stringing him along. He was a puppet in the display of God's power for the Lord to get his name renowned throughout the earth. He didn't know it. He thought he was doing something. Doing nothing. You know, the Lord had his number the whole time. Praise the Lord. The Lord wanted to show his power to help us today to see all the things. There is no length to which God cannot go in order to bring his people out from under the fury of the oppressor. I want to read to you another story here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5. And in those days, the children of Israel, their greatest enemy at that time were the Philistines. They were always, in this particular story, at that time, they had to deal with the Philistines all the time. 1 Samuel chapter 5. And the Philistines, they came in there, you know, and they took the Ark of God. You know, you might remember prior to this, where in the last, in the previous chapter about Eli and so on, you know, how Eli and his sons were killed in the same day. The daughter-in-law bearing a child and so forth, called Phinehas's wife. As we charged, when she delivered, she heard that, you know, not only was there a great slaughter that day, her husband, you know, father-in-law, I mean, a lot of people killed. And then the ark was also taken. And so she called the name of the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory of God is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken." Now, the ark of God represented the presence of God with them in those days. So when their enemy came in and captured that ark, it was like God had departed from us. We're finished. That's what it seemed like. So she called the name of the child Ichabod. And of course, you know, she, because of her father-in-law and her husband who died, and also because of the ark that was taken, you know, she gave birth to this child. Unfortunately, you know, she herself didn't make it, but they saved the child. And it came to pass in the next chapter, when the Philistines are taking the ark of God. Now let's enjoy this story and see how the Lord put it out there for our encouragement. The Philistines took the ark of God. Now this ark was what the children of Israel trusted in. They figured as long as the ark was with us, we'll fight our battles. Well, their defense was gone, so it seemed. And the Philistines took the ark and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. So when the Philistines had taken the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon. Said it by Dagon or Dagon, however it's pronounced. That was their god. They brought it into the house of their god, can you imagine? And set the ark of God, the living God, over against, you know, this image, idol that they had carved by the work of their own hands. They're going to put the ark of the God of all the whole earth right next to that thing. Well, let's see what happened next. You know, and when the day of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was falling, that's right, upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And so it'll be every time when the enemy comes up against you, you know, and your backs are up to the wall. It is now the ark of his presence, God's presence, versus Dagon. Well, the oppressor will fall. Dagon is falling. It's a story here. Well, so Dagon was falling upon his face before the ark of the Lord. That was stage number one. So they thought, well, maybe something happened. Maybe he just tripped. So, you know, first the Lord showed that Dagon had to bow down. So he fell before his face right there before the ark. And say, maybe. So they set it up again in his place, upright again. And then the next day, they came back. And he was falling again, this time around. The head and the palms had been cut off from the stump. And only the stump was left on him. Glory to God. So, you know, wow. That's Dagon in the presence of God, the presence of the ark, falling before the ark of the Lord. Neither therefore did the priest of Dagon or any that come into Dagon's house, you know, they don't even tread on that area until this day, he said. God did something heavy. His hand was heavy upon them. Showed that, look, a devil cannot stand and will not stand against the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. But we must know the power that is in us. You must know God's declaration for you. He said, even in planting of the heavens, laying the foundation of the earth, I did all of these things to say to you, you are my beloved. That's how precious we are. And the words that are put in your mouth, that's your greatest weapon. The words of the Lord in your mouth. Now, that's what Moses said to them. These Egyptians that you see today, that was the word of the Lord in his mouth. You will not see them again after today. You have to declare the thing. You know, same thing we read yesterday. Ezekiel had to declare the thing upon the situation that was, hopeless. I mean, those bones had been like that for years. You know, God, only God knew how long. In fact, God asked him, can these bones rise again? So, I don't know, Lord. But you know. And no matter how hopeless the situation seemed, the word of the Lord in your mouth can change that situation. That's what we call prophetic prayers. Now, since on the subject of prayers, since yesterday we're talking about different things, you can pray the beggarly kind of prayer, you know, where you're not even sure, Lord, I don't know whether it's your will to deliver me from this thing. I don't know whether it's your will to even heal me of this thing. You can pray that kind of prayer. Or you could pray prophetic prayers. Prophetic because you are declaring the word of God. The word that God has already spoken. Hallelujah. In this same Ezekiel, to the same Ezekiel, God spoke in Ezekiel 12, 25 through 28, said, the word that I have spoken shall not be delayed anymore. But that word must come to pass. Even as I have spoken in your days, even so will I bring it to pass in your days. The Lord even called them a rebellious house because their hearts were rebellious against the word of the Lord. Let's not be rebellious. Take the words of God. This is why we often say that before you pray, find what God has already spoken about that thing. And then use that in prayer. That becomes a prophetic prayer. Because now you are declaring what God already said. And especially when the Holy Spirit has shown you what to come, according to John 16 and 13, then you declare it like the Holy Spirit showed you, and that makes it a, you know, prophetic prayer. Again, in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11, the Lord made this declaration and empowered us to do exactly that. You know, now remember, we can't do anything that God didn't empower us to do. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Lamentation 3:37. But in Isaiah 45 verse 11, did God really give us this kind of authority to command even the work of his hands, you know, through our mouth? What the power of God in your mouth can carry, you know, tremendous, or the word of God in your mouth can carry tremendous power if you know how to use it and speak what God already said. Let's see how he said in Isaiah 45 and verse 11. Praise the Lord. Here's what he said. He said, thus saith the Lord. And I love it when the Lord says, thus saith the Lord. Introduce himself like that. The Holy One of Israel and his Maker. Ask me, he said, of things to come. Well, and the Holy Spirit will show you, Jesus said. asked me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands commanding me. So concerning the God's children, well, you can stand in the gap to ask them of things to come. Good things to come for them when you see your brother or your sister or hear of it that they are going through stuff. You stand in the gap and you declare the word of God on their behalf. Because God said it point blank here. Ask me of things to come. Well, I know, Lord, that your good hand is on them to set them free and break the fury of the oppressor in their life. You stand in the gap and you declare it for your brother and for your sister. Well, you do the same for yourself. Somebody else is declaring for you. You're praying for someone. Someone's praying for you. We're praying for one another. The Lord himself making intercession for us. How can we lose? You know, and he said, look, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Well, the Lord gave us this kind of authority to do it. How do you command the work of his hands? We saw, I said this the other day, we saw how Joshua did it. Joshua did it by commanding the sun and the moon, which are also the work of his hands, right? That's how he did it. And the way he did it, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, we read, then Joshua spake to the Lord, right? Remember, command ye me the works of my hands. So Joshua spake to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. At that time, Amorites, you know, were a blocker to their progress of going forward. So, and they were in battle. Joshua needed some more time before the, you know, the light of day would be gone. He needed some more time. And he spake to the Lord, we're told, in the sight of all Israel. And what exactly did he say? Let's hear what he said. You would have thought that when Joshua was speaking to the Lord, he would be saying, Lord, I ask that you cause this sun to stand still. Lord, I ask that you cause this moon to stand still. He said no such thing. He actually commanded the sun and commanded the moon, because that's what God said. Command ye me concerning the works of my hands. That's how you speak to the Lord. So Joshua speaking to the Lord, Joshua commanding the Lord, was by commanding the works of his hands. And they obeyed, because God gave you the authority to do so. Now, some people are timid, and because of lack of understanding, we don't think that we can do something like that. Or perhaps because of sin consciousness. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. God didn't say you should do it because you're good enough. You'll never be good enough. It is his word that is good enough. It is his word that is in your mouth. And if you know how to use it, well, it'll work for you. And so today, we're going to use that word that he said. You know, speak to situations. One man, one time in 1 Kings chapter 17, we read. Now, this man, he featured a lot in some of our stories, even lately. You might guess what his name might be. Elijah, the Tishbite, the rustic figure from the wilderness. He came, you know, and stood before Ahab and said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. That's it. He's going to lock up the heavens, put the key in his pocket and walk away. That's it. You know, as the Lord God liveth, for whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. My goodness, you talk about some people that have boldness to declare the word of God. He was already stood in the presence of God. He knew exactly what he was doing. He wasn't doing it just by himself. He already stood before the Lord. Yeah, but he come out there and demonstrated the power of God in the spoken word. He said, it's not going to happen except by my word. From now on, that's it. No more rain, no more dew, nothing. Glory to God. You talk about power of the Lord. Well, let's use that kind of power today. Praise the Lord. Over the situations that we are confronted with. That word is in your mouth and you can do it. The Lord even said through the psalmist in Psalm 8, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands in verse 3. Remember, command ye me concerning the work of my hands. The moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Why would you give man this kind of power? You know, to break things that are sitting down pretty and thinking they have dominion. The devil will never have dominion over you unless you let him. Because Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Now, all means all. So there's not, well, you have power only to do certain things, get a victory over the devil in certain areas. And not other areas. No. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19, he said, look, I saw Satan fall down from heaven like lightning. I mean, let's consider what that means. Lightning. How fast does lightning move? Well, lightning travels at the speed of light. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. Science has proven that. That's how fast the devil gets away from the power of God when you know how to do it. See, moving. He can't stand the power of the Lord, but that power is in your mouth. We call it prophetic prayers. When you stand in prayer, don't pray as the heathen do, we covered that yesterday, long, vain repetition as if you'll be heard by your vain words. Did Elijah use long prayer? You know, he might have done long prayer in the closet when he was before the Lord. But when he came out, he just said one thing, and that's it, and walked away. You're not going to see rain or dew except by my word. And he walked away. That's it, right there. Praise the Lord. Now, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, because Satan is falling, because Dagon is falling before the ark, and Satan is falling from heaven also. We know he's come down to the earth having great wrath, because he knows his time is short, and he's come to pummel the people that live upon the earth. But that's not us. You know, in the beginning, God made two great lights, Genesis 1 and 14. Greater light to rule over the day, and the lesser light to rule over the night. Now, we are not children of the night. We are under the greater light. Hallelujah. We are children of the day, and we are under the greater light. So, the powers of darkness, such as the moon, that rule over the night cannot rule over us. Because we are not children of the night, but children of the day. You know, so this is how we position ourselves to understand these things. The devil cannot rule over us. The oppressor cannot oppress us. The oppressor, how has the oppressor flourished? In saying, I sit pretty. You know, I have my praise. and all these things, captive and so forth. Well, Jesus said, well, when he's exactly like that, he said he thinks all his goods are at peace. He said, but I guarantee you, and a stronger than he shall come upon him, bind him up, he will spoil his goods in the which he trusted. The oppressor will now be oppressed. The fury of the oppressor is now broken. We can now spoil the spoilers because of the word of the Lord that is in your mouth, called prophetic prayers. So, that's what we're going to do today. Take the word of God, declare it over that situation. Prophesy upon the dry bones. Prophesy against the Red Sea. Whatever it is. You know, if you need some Red Sea to open, say, thus saith the Lord that divided the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Open ye the gates. The righteous nation may go in. You find some scripture that is relevant to the situation and you declare it. And if at first you don't see it, you keep on declaring it. Jesus taught us that. You know, you don't say it because you don't see it. You know, Elijah, we read the story yesterday. He declared it. God already told him it was coming, but he didn't see it for a considerable time afterward. But he stood right there and kept declaring it. And he said, there's going to be rain. He declared it. And then he said, remember, in the beginning he said, except by my word. And then he gave the word. The Lord told him, today I'll bring rain. So go show yourself to Ahab. So he knew it was time. And he went there and declared it. You know, go up, eat and drink, for there shall be an abundance of rain. But there was no rain. There was no rain in sight. God allowing these stories in the Bible to help us. Now, you declare it today. You declare it tomorrow. You declare it again after that, the day after that, and so forth. Every day you declare it. If at first you don't see, you declare it again. Just like Elijah. Go check it out, he said to his servant. And I said, see nothing. Well, you must see something. He prayed some more. Go check it out again. Well, I see nothing. I told you already. He said, well, there's something coming. I heard it from the Lord. I said, well, so go check it out again. I mean, kept praying and praying. And in between the go check it out again, he prayed more fervently. Book of James tells us. Honestly, he prayed. He said, Lord, you said so. And I call it forth. And anything that's holding back what you already said, I call it forth. Let it come forth. Even as you have said. And you need to really know how to use the words that God used in the beginning. Let there be. That's how God called things out. Let there be. The thing that he wanted, he had to call it forth. Now you got to call forth, you know, the powers. I called it yesterday, the other day. I said, call in the cavalry. After he prophesied upon the winds. I prophesied upon the bones. They stood up, but still, it needed help. Prophesy unto the winds now. Call in the cavalry, so to speak. You know, use the word of God to break the fury of the oppressor. And he'll fall, like just like Dagon fell before the ark. He's going to fall before you today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I'm ready to pray and declare prophetically over you today. And you do the same. Remember, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, it's good for, you know, when you have, somebody who's anointed, pray over you, call the word of God over you. That's good. But you can do it yourself. You know, I'm going to be here today doing it for you and over you in the name of the Lord. But I invite you to do it yourself also. Because that's what the scripture says in Isaiah 52 verse 2. It says, shake thyself from the dust. That's right. You yourself, shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down. Oh, Jerusalem, Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Break for yourself the fury of the oppressor over your own life. Don't need anybody to do it for you. But just in case you need some help, I'm going to get in here and believe the Lord with you. Because that's what gets us over. You know, when you are believing God and you're struggling a bit, well, you can get someone else to believe with you. Jesus gave the assurance that if two of you shall agree as touching that thing, said, shall be done. Hallelujah. You know, so you get somebody that has some real faith. I don't mess with anybody that doesn't have faith. They're going to drain you. You know, but you get some real faith. And I guarantee you, there's faith in this room today. Because I got faith. I don't know about you, you know. James said, well, show me your faith without any works. But I'll show you my faith by my works. Well, I see the work of God in my life, so I know I've got faith. I've seen it happen time and time again. You know, and by experience, I know now that the word of the Lord in my mouth, you know, that word is powerful. Not because it's in my mouth, but because it's God's word. So the emphasis is God's word, not my mouth, but God's word. If I can get a hold of God's word and I speak it forth in my prayer, then it becomes a prophetic prayer. So that's how we should pray. Don't just be praying anyhow. Pray prophetically. Use his word. Declare it for yourself that thou mightest be justified. So what God said, Isaiah 43 and 26, he said, declare it. Put me in remembrance. Well, put me in remembrance means remind me of what I already said. I said, well, Lord, you said so. It's not that he forgot, but that's the principle. That's how he wants you to walk, because he wants you to partner with him. That's always the way that God's done things. In the beginning, even after he did all the heavy lifting, he did the heavy lifting before Adam even came up. All the heavy lifting, created everything, called everything for, done. Did all the heavy lifting. Now he said, now you come on in here and enjoy the goodness of the Lord and take care of business. Manage things. Make sure things don't go awry. Make sure things don't get off track. I've done the heavy lifting. Now you step in there and take care of business. Well, that's how God does things. He did the heavy lifting for us at the cross already. Glory to God. Jesus said, it is finished. What does it is finished mean? Well, all the things that were prophesied about him, he fulfilled every last one of them, to even the vinegar and everything on the cross. And, you know, so finally now he's on the cross and he said, there is nothing more. It's all done. Well, if it is all done, let's consider some of the things that he came to do, you know, to give you the confidence today that it is in your mouth as well. You can read John 19 and 30 for yourself, where Jesus said, you know, after they put the hyssop and all of that in his mouth, every last one of those scriptures concerning him had been fulfilled. That was the last one. He said, it is finished. I'm done. It's gone now. Well, let's look at some of the things that is finished then. If it was indeed finished, well, let's see. What are the things that are finished? Well, 1 John chapter 3. These are some of the things that are finished. He said, you know, the purpose that Christ came was to destroy the works of the devil, to break the fury of the oppressor. In 1 John chapter 3, you know, verse 8, he that committed sin is of the devil. And we don't want to be in the devil's camp. Therefore, you know, live a life of righteousness. The devil is the one that sinned from the beginning. He left his first estate. God put him here, you know, but he said, I will be like God. I'll go to higher heights. I've climbed up the mount of God, you know, and this and this and that. I said, well, I'm going to bring you down to hell then, you know. So, but for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If that was the purpose for which he was manifested and he said it is finished, then I conclude, ladies and gentlemen, that the works of the devil and the fury of the oppressor are already broken. But we must enforce it. So really, we are enforcers. That's all we are. That's what we do with prophetic prayers. That's what we do, is to enforce the victory that Christ already wrought for us. And it doesn't matter how you got into the situation that you are in. That's irrelevant. But in some cases, it might be relevant. Because God might need to show you wisdom of how to stay out of that kind of mess. However, in the case of the prophetic prayers, you know, all you need is the word of God against that situation. What I mean by it's not relevant is whether it was your fault or the devil or somebody else, whatever. It really doesn't matter how you got there. What matters is I am the Lord, your deliverer. Praise God. And God didn't say that I'm only going to deliver you from the situations which wasn't your fault, whether it was your fault or not. All you got to do, if it was your fault, is come clean before the Lord. That's it. Say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin before you today. If I would have listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit telling me, don't do that, I would not be in the mess that I am today. That's how you pray. That's how Daniel prayed. He said, Lord, all this confusion of faces come upon us because we did not take heed to your word. We have devised our evil ways, falling away from your statutes, and we've gone our different wicked ways. That's why all this evil has come upon us. But you are a righteous God. Now, therefore, O Lord, remember mercy today as we confess our sins before you. So, whatever is your fault, you confess it before the Lord. But whether it was your fault, whether it's the devil that cheap shot you, whether the devil planned evil against you, whether somebody threw an arrow, you know, in Africa, they talk about throwing arrows, you know, people can send arrows, you know, and they do in the kingdom of wickedness, they do these things, but see, I'm under the sun, not under the moon. These things can throw your arrows all you want. You know, even while I'm sleeping, I've got the shield of faith around me to quench all the fiery arrows of the devil. That's it. I'm not worried about it. It only boomerang, you know, because it's going to hit this brick wall that's this invisible aura around me. It's called the shield of faith. It goes wherever I go. Bible says, by which you quench all the fiery arrows. So those of you who say, oh, they throw arrow, they do this. Well, then put on the shield of faith then, above all. See, you could quench those things. It won't penetrate if you put on the shield of faith. Now, if you break a hedge, well, then this happened, we'll have an inroad. But no. You stay right there in the glory of the Lord. You are protected. Praise the Lord. Enough said today. That's it. I want to declare the prophetic word over your situation today. And first, I will pray. And then I'm going to invite you to pray. And remember, we're not going to use vain repetition or vain words. We're going to use the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, which he has already spoken, which according to Isaiah 55, he said, you know, my word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish its purpose and prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent. That's the word of God. That's the one that you want to use. That's why we call it prophetic prayers, because God already said we accomplish the thing. And then when you use it, you come against the fury of the oppressor. You come against everything. Sickness, diagnosis, problems, you know, burdens, oppressing spirits, bands of wickedness, you know, evil yokes, all these things, heavy burdens, the enemy put upon you, these four horns, well, the prophetic word of God in your mouth change the story. Praise the Lord. Now here we go. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to declare the word of God over this house. Hallelujah. And then you are going to declare for yourself. Yeah. So, and after this room, you still continue to declare for yourself. You don't need the pastor. You got the word is in your mouth. That's right. You shake your own self from the dust. I need me to come and shake you. You know, lose your own self from the bands around your neck. You don't need me to come and lose that those bands from your neck. Don't put your neck. Why would you put your neck on that, you know, bands of the devil? Break yourself loose. Hallelujah. You can do it. But Jesus said you can't. So I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And God said it too, you know. So this word is in your mouth. You speak it. Glory to God. So here we go. For everyone that's in this room, Lord, you have said, ask me of things concerning my sons. Things to come in their lives. For everyone that is in this room, Lord, I see a turning around. For good. I can see everything turning around for their good. Situations, Red Seas, moments, fury of the oppressor, and everything that enemy has said, aha, aha. Lord, I come against those things in the life of your children. And maybe sickness, diagnosis that you've been dealing with for months, or maybe even years. There may be situations, other Red Sea moments. You know what they are. And Lord, I call upon and over these people. I call the name of the Lord upon your people that are here today. You said, Lord, to Ezekiel, prophesy upon these dead bones. Now, every dead bone, every situation that's in the life of your children, the Red Seas, the oppressor and the oppressing spirits, the heavy burdens, Lord, even the bands of wickedness and all the evil yokes the enemy have put upon their lives. So these are the four horns that have come to buffet and batter the children of Israel. But again, the Lord raised up the carpenter's anointing. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as I speak the word of God, and as we have taught your people today to also speak your word prophetically in their prayers, we come as a united force against the fury of the oppressor to break it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's what the Lord said in the word of the Lord. And he said, this is how you do it. You find the promises of God and you use it. Glory to God. Here's one that he said. I'm going to read it in this prophetic prayer. And it shall come to pass in that day, Isaiah 10 and 27, that the burden of the oppressor shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke shall be broken off of thy neck, and the yoke shall be broken because of the Assyrian. I mean, because of the anointing. And I will break the Assyrian. Hallelujah. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I will break the Assyrian. Ha! And who is the Assyrian? Well, the Lord challenged the Assyrian and said, oh, Assyrian, I'm going to break you, you know, even with the rod of my anger. I will break you. Ha! I will break, the Lord said, the Assyrian. Glory to God. Even in my mountains, said the Lord. In any places where the Assyrian has vaunted up himself in your life to say, I've got you where I wanted you. And aha, aha, I come against him in the name of the Lord. According to Isaiah 14 and 25. I declare this prophetically over you in this room today, that the Lord said that I will break the Assyrian. Thank you, Jesus. Break the fury of your oppressor. Hallelujah. Now, hear ye the word of the Lord. Isaiah 14 and verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed it, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land. I will break the fury of the oppressor from the lives of my people. And upon my mountains, I'll tread him underfoot. And then his yoke shall depart off of their shoulders. His burden shall be taken off of them. In the name of Jesus. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. And the good hand of the Lord has stretched out upon his people to bring you deliverance. Now thus saith the word of the Lord. Concerning the Assyrian in your life. Now whatever it is. You know. Whatever it is. What is that burden in your life? What is that poison that the devil has put in there, that the Lord wants you to, you know, have victory over today? The Holy Spirit is showing you now that you got the victory. The Holy Spirit show you things to come. Now you align yourself with the Holy Spirit, come in agreement, and claim the victory for yourself. Hallelujah. The Lord says, glory to God, that he will break the Assyrian and he will remove his burden from off your shoulder. Thank you, Jesus. Furthermore, the Lord said that he will bruise the devil under your feet. Glory to God. Now, shall the devil be bruised under your feet? Absolutely. Romans 16 and 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace shall break the fury of the oppressor. Even as Dagon fell before the ark, so let every force of darkness and force of wickedness, the bands of wickedness, the heavy burdens, oppressing spirits and evil yokes, let them be broken. Hallelujah. In your life today, by the word of the Lord that's in my mouth and the word of the Lord that is in your mouth. Hallelujah. The Lord said, I don't want you to be bondsmen. The Lord said, I have delivered you from the burden of the oppressor in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. God wants you to go and stand upright. Doesn't want you to be bent over by the oppressor anymore. Listen to this in Leviticus chapter 16. Chapter 26, verse 13. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. Glory to God. Now, we're breaking the fury of the oppressor here today in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now you pick the situation that you would like to be victorious over. Thus saith the Lord, I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 26 and 13, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, you can remember the things that God had already done for you in the past. The God that delivered you from the hand of the lion. and the paw of the bear, or the hand of the bear and the paw of the lion, whatever. He also will deliver you from this Goliath that you face today. The Lord said, I've delivered you and brought you forth out of the land of Egypt so that you will not be bondsmen to them again. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. All the burdens that the devil put on your back to make you bent over and not to walk upright. The Lord said, I've broken it. Glory to God. Cause you to go upright. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to declare it every day. Declare it today, declare it tomorrow, declare it the next day. By the word of the Lord in your mouth called prophetic prayers. And I declare for everyone that's in this room today.